our Wednesday installment, as usual, to health with you, right here on the edge. I smile when I hear that music. I get somewhat uplifted. Been a rough day, but that's okay. There is much we're going to cover here tonight, but before we get to the main thrust of the program, on and off throughout the day, and yesterday I've been loading a lot of new stuff up on our site, drkelley.info. That's drkelley.info. And it's interesting when I talk to people on the phone, well, is that .info.com? I said, no, it's just .info, I-N-F-O. We have published quite a bit in the last few days. It's one of these things that is accessible. Articles published, one's called Voices, written by talks about alkaline food, getting away from your city. Notice a little quirk in the website that I'll have to go back and resolve later, but it's nothing that's going to cause me any difficulty tonight. With everything going on in this nation from a political standpoint, we are finding grocery stores are beginning to load up because they're anticipating a greater shortage of food, et cetera, et cetera. And I realize it's not the right time of the year, but there's things we can do. There's a marvelous video we published several nights ago, along with some commentary, entitled How to Grow a Vegetable Garden. And in a few moments, I'm going to make reference to another publication we did that is a very interesting cross-reference to it. Another piece, vitamin D supplements could keep COVID-19 patients out of intensive care. What we're looking at, our weekly publication from Dr. Merle Luden, who talks about Dr. Otto Warburg and the Nobel Prize, which is interesting because he almost makes no reference to the Nobel Prize, but it gives you some background into Warburg and the importance of it all. I guess something that I originally published in April of 2010. That time was the 100th anniversary of a man named Henry Smith Pritchett, president of the Carnegie Foundation, who put the finishing touches on something called the Flexner Report. That is all. Who has taken over the medical community financially, health-wise and otherwise? You need to read this piece. It is an amazing historical piece, which to some degree goes back during the days of Obamacare, et cetera, et cetera. But it is well worth reading. I mean, this thing was published originally 10 years ago. Well worth reading. Another piece, which has got an amazing, amazing graphic on it, but there is a problem with the graphic. It is legible, but it's a very poor copy. I've gotten a hold of the publisher to say, get me an original of this thing. He's invited me to use it, and they've sent me a really bad copy. Why the COVID-19 pandemic is making the opioid epidemic worse. Opioid epidemic. We're talking about the drug users, the overdose. The increase in people, it's simply amazing to me. The latest piece we published a short while ago from the FDA, research unveils that cancer-causing chemicals found in popular medications used for heartburn. Well, it goes by the name of, I can't recall what, but it's predominantly known as Zantac. And if you've paid any attention over the last couple of years, the lawsuits regarding Zantac are amazing, but in one form or another, the stuff is still out there. It's still being used. And finally, my reference is a piece that took me quite a while to put together because of the way I was handed this thing. And this is important. Remember, a few moments ago, I made reference to growing a vegetable garden and the importance of doing it, being somewhat more responsible for developing your own food, and the other piece that Granny had submitted called Health Choices. An amazing piece that we've done today called The 19 Cancer-Causing Foods That You Must Stop Eating. I strongly urge you to look at that. If time allows today, we may come back to this and review a little bit of it. I'm not going to share the whole thing, but we're going to review it and talk about it. The fact of the matter is, if you begin to eat this stuff, these cancer-causing foods, and I promise you, almost every one of us is eating this stuff, okay? It's nasty. I mean, potato chips, you know. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, GMO foods, things of that nature. Soda. Sugar substitutes, let alone just sugar itself. Now, I do use sugar, but I have a very particular brand of sugar that I get, believe it or not, at the Walmart mini market. I don't like Walmart. I hate their guts. But I do go to the mini market. I know a good number of the people that work there, and it's marvelous to see them. But I found a sugar there that has not gone through all this chemical processing, and I love this stuff. I don't use it for much of anything but coffee. And once in a while, oatmeal. So we will try to get to that a little bit later. The basis of this program tonight, and understand, we're not going to have a break at the bottom of the hour. You'll understand why. We have an intense audio clip that we're going to bring on in just a few moments. The basis of this program is entitled Cancer by Injection. What? Yes. Cancer, it has now been proven, has been injected in the 50s and 60s into some very large amounts of people. For one so-called reason or another. But let me suggest this. Even if you had never been given a vaccine, you could still have gotten the cancer virus because your mother got a polio shot. The evil, my friends, has no bounds. Nearly all science writing in this nation and around the world is done with all of the attention to clarify clarity of an autistic narcoleptic sitting at a Ouija board. And so it becomes impossible to tell what any of it means. I mean, this is what we face within the health industry today. Of course, all of this, you know, is done on purpose. Because one of the tricks of the Illuminati is to allow their marks, or their, you know, that's con man talk, to assume what their blathering meant. And in a short while, I'm going to share with you a case in point. But I want to take the time to get to the basis of this. It is an amazing video that I came across totally by accident the other night. It is published on a website that I have massive respect for. And the people who do it will introduce themselves. You must listen carefully, but I also strongly urge you, when this program is over tonight, to go to drkelly.info, scroll down a bit, and watch this video, because you will see proof of all that they speak of. Proof. It was published on government sites. Proof that has been removed by the government. But this is the age of the internet. And there are people out there who strongly go after proof and evidence and find ways to locate it and publish it. And that is what you will be able to see visually. So without further ado, let us begin. Cancer by injection. and I'll be back with you in about, 18, 20 minutes, something like that. Don't go away. You ready, Michael? Let's do it.
Melissa Melton here with Aaron Dykes for True Stream Media.
Hi, everybody.
And I hope we get through this video quickly because it's late here, we're tired, and I don't want to ramble at you all night, but we just came across something, and it's really, we think, big, and we just had to share it with you. I was just going to do a short video because I decided to put up Daisy Luther over at the Organic Prepper wrote a story about how the CDC quietly admitted that 30 million people were injected with a polio virus that contained live SV40 cancer virus. And this is something that we've reported on before with Merck vaccine doctor Maurice Hilleman admitting that the cancer virus was in there. But now the CDC has come out and they have their own fact sheet on it that they came out and put up quietly admitting that yes, the SV40 was in a species of monkey, that it was discovered in 1960. It was found in many polio vaccines, that more than 98 million Americans received those vaccines from 1955 to 1963, when a portion, they say, of the vaccine was contaminated with SV40. And they estimate that 30 million Americans could have received this SV40 contaminated dose of the polio vaccine. And later it's been found in many types of human cancer, SV40 has been found, but the CDC says it's not been determined that SV40 causes these cancers. And I decided to just go check out their information on it because it's something that I know Aaron and I have both written about before. And when I got to it, I realized that it's a cached page, and that if you actually try to click on it, which I will do in a second, it doesn't open because it no longer exists on their actual site. But I will note before I close this that they did say, quote, "The majority of scientific evidence suggests that SV40 contaminated vaccine did not cause cancer. However, some research results are conflicting and more studies are needed." So that's their final position on it. And when you try to click on this, as you can clearly see, the page has been removed. It no longer exists. However, this is, and it redirects you to their vaccine safety. However, this is the age of the internet, and we can always go back with the Wayback Machine and find pretty much anything we want. And when you go back, what you find is, in 1997, they held a workshop on it, on the SV40 and on its potential connection to cancer. And going back further, you can find that the CDC used to have a whole page about it. And this whole investigation tonight that we got into started because I just wanted to know why they took it down. They had a whole page about it, and it's gone, right? And it wasn't updated. The last time it was updated was 2007, I think it says, down here at the bottom, October 2007. But they had a whole page here. What's SV40? What's the connection with cancer? What's the connection with polioviruses? And they have some research here regarding the health effects of receiving an SV40 contaminated vaccine. And they admit a couple research studies here and there, they'll put like a line or two about how, yeah, there's some connections, blah, blah, blah. And then they have this big, huge study they cite in 1998 by a guy named Howard Strickler, who headed up a study saying there was no increased incidence of cancer in persons that may have received this vaccine. And he found that just by doing a study of a database that had a bunch of people that had cancer in it, and they tried to do a comparative study. And based on that study, that's what they're basically going with when they say in their fact sheet that it does not cause, that there's no causal relationship between SV40 and cancer. That's the CDC's official position.
So they admit a correlation, but they're denying causation, but it's there.
Exactly. So that's what's going on. But then, so I decided to look a little bit more into Mr. Strickler here and into some of the stuff that was going on around the time period when all of this was becoming a big controversy, which was in the late 90s and early 2000s. And what I found out is that there were over 61 reports from 49 different laboratories across the entire world at that time. This was written here in 2002. This is up on the PubMed.gov. That had detected SV40 in human cancers, including mesothelioma, lymphoma, brain, and bone tumors. And there were only 3 reports which were done that showed they could not detect SV40 in those same tumor types. And those 3 reports, Two were done in a guy named Dr. Shah's laboratory. We'll talk about him in a second. And he was under contract from Dr. Strickler. Okay? And what this report here actually ended up finding was that Dr. Shah's laboratory technique used in 1996 was not sufficiently sensitive to even detect SV40 in human tumors. And when that became apparent during unilateral pretrial testing of positive controls by Dr. Shah, study coordinator Dr. Strickler compromised the blinded nature of the study and allowed Dr. Shah to modify and improve his technique.
So in other words, it wasn't a real study. They gave him a loaded dose, according to this.
Exactly. And this is a little passage from a book called The Virus and the Vaccine, the true story of a cancer-causing monkey virus. And it talks about a deposition of Dr. Shah from June 24, 2002. And Shah, by the way, was doing consulting work for Merck and Pfizer, specifically on SV40. So he's being paid by Merck, who was one of the instrumental in the polio virus to begin with, companies. And Shah testified at that time that he was provided positive controls in advance of other participants by Strickler, and he was told the positive controls were positive. So then he was able to adjust his technique and detect SV40 in positive samples. So the whole study was blown. And that's what this here is trying to show. They have all these documents that came out because a bunch of people sued, a bunch of people that had SV40 positive tumors. And so through the course of that litigation, all these documents came out, including testimony from Dr. Shah saying that Dr. Strickler completely blew this study.
It's technical, but don't lose the point. They're saying with 61 studies, there's a pile of evidence that the SV40 was in the polio vaccine, and just a couple reports saying, oh, no, there's no SV40.
Yes, and those couple reports were done by Dr. Strickler and Dr. Shah. Now, I've already just mentioned to you that Dr. Shah was being paid by Merck and Pfizer for work on consultant work on SV40 at that time anyway. So he's already been, in my opinion, compromised. That's a conflict of interest. Now, this is a hearing before the Subcommittee on Human Rights and Wellness of the Committee on Government Reform for the House of Representatives on the SV40 virus and has tainted polio vaccine caused an increase in cancer. And this was held in September 2003. And in here, and it's really long, I've highlighted a couple of passages, Mr. Burton is asking questions about Dr. Strickler in here specifically, and he's saying that Dr. Strickler has evidently done some research on this and showed in 1996 no evidence SV40 was in any tumors and was the cause of cancer. And in 2001, Strickler said the same thing. How do you account for the fact that your scientist couldn't find the traces of SV40, your scientist being Strickler, tumors, when eminent scientists from 60 different laboratories around the world found many cases of its existence? Why is there that inconsistency? Scientists look at, a lot of the same data. Your scientist says no, and 60 other labs say yes, and eminent doctors from those labs, and they have done extensive research, and they all say yes. Why is there this consistency? Well, let's look at a few other things I found that might be part of why that consistency is. This is further down in the same testimony. It says, this Dr. Strickler, one of the favored labs he uses for the tests that he does is funded in large part and does a lot of work with Merck, Pfizer, and Wyeth. And while that doesn't apparently look like a conflict of interest, it certainly does raise some questions. So that's first of all. Secondly, if you go do search for Mr. Strickler, Mr. Howard Strickler, you'll find that in many studies that he's on, this one having to do with HPV, and we'll also get to that in a second, when it comes down here to the bottom where it says disclosure of potential conflicts of interest, Mr. Strickler is always listed as consultant/advisory board with Merck and GSK. Now, moving on, okay, sorry about that if I haven't been showing you exactly the right thing. I'm trying to do a couple things at the same time. All right, moving on from that, where you also seem to find Dr. Strickler quite a bit, is anything having to do with vaccination strategies for HPV. And this is interesting. He was listed on this from 2010 having to do with a forum on the organizing committee for how does public policy impact cervical screening and vaccination strategies. So he's on that. He's also been invited to speak on the, I believe it's the International Committee. There's a lot of committees. The International Scientific Committee for the 2014 HPV, I guess,
conference that's being or something. Hosted by Bill Gates and the PATH Vaccine Foundation and the other major industry players, and it's directly sponsored by Roche.
There you go. So he's on that. He's going to be sitting on that, trying to push HPV vaccines.
It's a very small crowd inside these niche circles
right.
of power.
And then, on the same track, interestingly, I guess, enough, is also Dr. Shah. Here's Dr. Shah now. What he's doing now has everything to do with HPV vaccine. He's been very instrumental in it. I even found him on this. Should human papillomavirus vaccination be mandatory? It's a paper from 2007, and it's all about how, yes, it should be. And it was written for the American Medical Association Journal of Ethics. You remember them. They're the ones that think we need to have the mercury adjuvants put back into our vaccines. So that's all going on. You've got both of these guys. They're the only two guys that seemingly at the time could not find a link between SV40 showing up in people's tumors. That was this monkey virus that was put into the vaccines. It was these two guys. And now these two guys are all over pushing HPV. And both of them have been listed as being consultants and advisory board members for Merck and GlaxoSmithKline and Pfizer. And it's just amazing.
And we found that the HPV vaccine is being carried on a chimera version of the polio virus.
They're using polio virus as a vector, yeah, for HPV strain 16, which both GlaxoSmithKline cervix and Merck's Gardasil are supposed to protect against. It's very creepy, and I'm sure we're going to bring...
It has a relationship with SV40.
There is, and we're going to look more into that, but that's we've just only started to uncover that, and it's already 5 a.m. But going back big picture, some of the other stuff that we discovered tonight that really, really just did not sit well with me at all. Sorry, I'm going to like knock the camera over while I'm talking. This is an article from July 15th, 2001, from the San Francisco Chronicle.
Back when they did some real investigative journalism.
Back in the day. And it's talking about how there are actually two types of SV40, not just one. Now, at the time, the Salk SV40 contaminated vaccine that was made between 1955 and 1963, they thought they discarded all of that because it had the SV40 in it. And at that time, manufacturers switched from using rhesus monkeys that had the SV40 present to supposedly SV40-free green African monkeys to grow the bulk of vaccines in 1961. However, what ended up happening was there was another guy doing a lot of these studies that he was proving at the time that SV40 was linked to a lot of these cancers. They were finding it in a lot of these cancers. That guy was contacted by a former public health director in Oak Park, Illinois in 1999 who just happened to have 7 sealed vials of vaccine dated from October 1955 in a refrigerator in his basement and gave those up as part of this whole investigation that was going on at the time. And not only did it have the SV40 in it that was contaminated with, but they also found a second form of the same virus, which was a slower growing strain. And at the time, they were using 14-day tests to detect whether or not SV40 was in the vaccines that they were discarding and getting rid of. But this second version took 19 days to show up. So really, it could have been going on forever. It said here that Carbon noted in his published report the second strain of SV40 that had been evading manufacturer screening procedures could have been going on for years, infecting vaccine recipients well after 1962.
And by the way, it shouldn't have never been a mystery because the audio of Dr. Maurice Hilleman, who worked at Merck, shows that he's the one who helped discover SV40 at a time when they were deliberately infecting gangs of monkeys with all the viruses they had discovered and the process through which they discovered AIDS. So he knew that SV40 was being used in the polio vaccines the live polio oral stuff that was being developed, and he reported it at the time, but it was kept within the scientific community and never announced to the public for many years because there was so much hype and public relations campaigns behind the rollout of the polio vaccine and the great triumphs that it would lead to and so forth and so on.
Yeah, he specifically said the government would not let him tell people. I found that somewhere else, that they said that it would lead to a public hysteria, so they just weren't going to tell anybody. But so if you go back to this CDC page that they used to have on their website, it's no longer there, but you can find it archived. Frequently asked questions about cancer, simian virus 40, and polio vaccine. They're very selective on this page about what information they're actually giving, and they didn't say anything at all. I mean, they do mention here there was a study done about a slow-growing strain, but they say that this study didn't follow the testing protocol to ensure the vaccine is free of SV40, so therefore they're just not going to, you know, talk about that. And they mention how the FDA uses very sensitive such-and-such tests, and so this was not even an issue, and they basically whitewashed that whole thing over, even though, again, there were 61 reports from 49 different labs in 2002, and by 2003, there were 60 other labs saying, yes, there's a connection. All over the world, there's a connection, and here you've got the CDC totally watering it down. And even creepier than that, just to finish us out here, I want to point out, at the bottom of this no longer existing CDC page, it says, where can I get more information about SV40? It says, the Food and Drug Administration has been the federal government lead agency in answering questions relating to SV40 and polio vaccines, and it gives a number for you to call the FDA. Well, in that congressional testimony I showed you guys earlier, it says here, this little sentence, however, Dr. Strickler, I guess he worked for you at one time and is now a consultant or does consulting with the FDA. Or does he have some relationship with the FDA now? So that's back in, what, 2003, did I say? Yes, that's 2003. So this guy who now is all over the 2014 HPV conference, he's all over writing about how public policy is affecting vaccination strategies and that we all just need to be shot up with HPV vaccines. That's the same guy who, I guess, back in 2003, in this congressional testimony, was consulting for the FDA and either had been or in the future would be, or maybe at the same time overlapping, you never know with that revolving door, was also a consultant and advisory board member for both Merck and GlaxoSmithKline, the two companies behind both HPV vaccines.
And to recap briefly, they know that SV40 is found in cancerous tumors. They know that it was in the early polio vaccine. They know that a different kind of SV40 was in the later polio vaccine, but they didn't even officially acknowledge it or have the means to test the latter vaccine till many, many, many years later. So while admittedly 30 million people may have been given cancerous SV40 virus from the first batch, and untold how
who
many
knows
millions
how many millions
have
I mean,
the more masked version of SV40.
For decades, there was a slower moving version of SV40 in there, and because they were doing a 14-day test, they weren't catching it because it didn't show up in lab tests until 19 days of culture.
And apparently it can be passed down in some cases throughout the generations.
That's the other thing. There are lots of studies, and you can find them out there being done, that show that if you're given this vaccine while you're pregnant, you can pass it down to your kids, because they are finding SV40 in a lot of people who never, ever even had this vaccine, but their parent, their mother did. And they're finding that this can be passed down in tests. Not the kind of tests the CDC will obviously tell you about. Anyway, I'm going to put the link to the archived version of the CDC's information so you can go read through it. But just realize when they give Strickler a big, huge paragraph on their "we don't think this is causation" thing, they're giving it to the guy who was paid by the government to do the studies and who was shown to be, in congressional testimony and in other documents that came out during the course of litigation, somebody who faked tests, messed up tests on purpose. He gave the guy the controls. He let him compromise the blinded nature of a study on this, and then basically provided that information as though it was some kind of scientific fact, even though it was obviously totally compromised, just to give them the results they needed so they could make everybody feel better and kind of make it go away, seemingly what it looks like to me.
Par for the course corruption, but millions upon millions of lives potentially at stake through this.
Yeah.
And how many people have cancer now? We've got to sign off at TrueStreamMedia.com. We'll come back to you soon. We'll see you on our Saturday radio show and keep watching our YouTube.
Talk to you guys later.
Amazingly profound. They talk about something that happened between the mid-1950s and 1963. And as we listen to this story unfold and we watch some of the other so-called medical professionals that were involved and how they thrived, they were promoted, they brought us poison, and now they're basically advising the Food and Drug Administration and all this other business. And now here we sit in the year 2020. 60-odd years has gone by. And now we face idiots like Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates, who's adamant that we're all going to be forced to take a vaccine. Well, I'll meet my maker before I'll take that vaccine. Let us go back to the beginning, our introduction to this audio clip, what we called Case in Point. Cell cultures involved growing cells in a culture vessel. A primary cell culture consists of cells taken directly from living tissue, never subcultivated, and may in fact contain multiple types of cells such as fibroblasts, epithelial, endothelial cells. Now, a cell strain is a cell culture that contains only one type of cell in which the cells are normal and have a very finite capacity to replicate. Cell strains can be made by taking subcultures from an original primary culture until only one type remains. Let me share an example. An immortalized cell line is the so-called HeLa cell line, or HeLa cell line, started from cervical cancer cells taken in the 1950s from a woman named Henrietta Lacks. Cell lines are not used to produce vaccine virus. Are those word games? I mean, I get it. Cell lines aren't used to make vaccines, but if you put old Henrietta in a Cuisinart, well then, baby. You see, researchers can grow human pathogens like viruses in cell strains to attenuate them. In other words, to weaken them. HeLa cells were easily infected by the poliovirus and therefore were perfect for vaccine testing and development. And since HeLa cells were easily grown and cultured in the laboratory, Salk was able to infect large amounts of HeLa cells and develop a vaccine that was viable for human use. I have shared with you in the past that many times when I am working on an article, things to share with you, I find it quite interesting to scroll down and read comments. What I'm about to share with you is a very lengthy comment left after this video. And the author says, like you guys, I get tired about 3 or 4 a.m. trying to deconstruct the military assaults, so I wasn't really getting to the heart of whether your monkey kidney SV40 might not have a kissing cousin in the HeLa cells within the same cultural lineage, or if just the oral vaccine used one or the other versus the shot vaccine used just one or the other, or maybe both. And that is my point, she says. That even if you miss the deadline on ordering your special offer of monkey crap before midnight that they might throw at the Ginzu knives of Henrietta to cut you to bits anyway. And we've seen this shuck and jive before with mercury-free vaccines. All that meant is they didn't put a thimerosal in the final product. No, it's still used in the manufacturing leading up to the final product, so there will always be traces of mercury, but it wasn't added. But see, these are process issues. I don't think that anyone should watch it because it's extremely disturbing, even to me. But HeLa cells remind me of SIL, S-I-L, in Species 2. HeLa literally has taken over entire laboratories. And so even if the process was segregated for monkey kidney and Henrietta's cervix, at some point, it really wouldn't matter. And you would double your fun with as much cancer as you could possibly pray for, and that's P-R-E-Y. Hey, we're sorry, folks. We're having some technical difficulties at network today. And of all the times to have it, apparently we got cut off at Henrietta's cervix, which may in fact have also got cut off. I don't know. Thermiris, I don't know how far back that is. It's just too much. But let's see if I can repeat this portion. And let me know if this came out over the air. There was a guy named Buring, professor of virology in the School of Public Health. Now, he's got a reason to be wary of HeLa. Both her PhD and postdoc careers were spent working at UC Berkeley's cell culture laboratory housed in the Naval Biosciences Lab in Oakland, a cell repository funded by the federal government that characterized and maintained cell lines for research scientists. And she happened to be working there at a time when Dr. Walter Nelson Reese, the co-director, was working hard to expose HeLa's misdeeds. And the vigorous cells crime? The contamination of other less hardy cell lines. You see, Nelson Reese was not the first to suspect contamination by HeLa cells. In the 1960s, Dr. Stanley Gartler, a research geneticist, released the initial HeLa bomb. Gartler had discovered that the 18 different cell lines he had collected for his research all turned out to be genetically identical, with genes only present in people of African descent. So HeLa was a suspect that many scientists refused to accept the implications of his discovery and chose instead to ignore it. 10 years later, Nelson Reese picked up where Gartler left off, discovered several HeLa-specific chromosomal markers that could be used to test the identity of cell lines. Buring recalls, since this repository had so many cell lines, Nelson Reese was going through all of them and examining them for these markers. And while he was there, he came up with 40, which was more than one expected. The commentary I've just shared with you is unusual. But I will tell you that later this evening, when you go to drkelly.info, I strongly urge you, even though you've listened to the words, watch the video, watch carefully the documentation that is put before you. it'll begin to have greater meaning. The video itself was entitled, Were SV40 Vaccine Links to Cancer? And it is unreal. So the commentary that she left that I've shared with you does provide a series of sources, at least two, that you can follow. And I strongly urge you do so. This is a well-researched quote. It was left on the YouTube site of the video that we've just shared with you, at least the audio portion of it. And these things become difficult to me because it shows me more and more that the health industry is all about the money, baby. It's greed. It's not about curing anything. In many respects, we become the unwitting, what's the word I'm looking for? Guinea pigs. And I've never even been to New Guinea, so I don't know what the heck they're talking about, but you understand my warped sense of humor by now. We're being poisoned every step of the way, and if you think the coronavirus is any less of this continuation, you've got another thing coming. It's insanity, pure insanity, what we're going through, what we're living through. I don't see any improvement coming our way. Politically, economically, not from a health standpoint of any stretch of the imagination, my friends. We wonder why there is these, is it population control? Or is it just more human experimentation that we are so reluctant to combat? We go to our doctor. We just listen to everything he says. We take their medicine. We take their vaccines. We take their advice. We take no responsibility for our own health. And as big as polio was back in the 50s, it was easy to con people into that. Kind of reminds me today. As big as the Rona is in this country today, it's pretty easy to get people to fall for anything you want to sell them, huh? I'm nibbling on something while we're on the air today, something I don't often do. But I had an absolute need for something, so I'm doing it. The other article we've got published today that I strongly want to urge you to take a look at. 19 cancer-causing foods that you must stop eating. Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it. Now, that title, Dr. Mary's Monkey, could have numerous connotations, my friends. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You might already know this. I hope you do. Eating junk food is a major risk factor for cancer. But there's also a lot of health foods and diet products which also have carcinogens hiding in them. Same thing, they're hiding it all from us. What if you don't eat junk? Don't follow diet fads. Do you know that almost all packaged foods contain certain ingredients which may be cancer-causing agents? Time to be an informed consumer and vote with your money so that food companies are forced to put good quality, safe products on the shelf. Or the other alternative is to, once again, start growing your own. Hmm. 19 common foods. Time's going to prevent us from getting in depth with all of them, but I want to give you a teaser. Not so that I can give you all the answers. Get off your butt. Go to the website. Read the article. I don't do it because I make money with it. I do it because I have an unbelievable need to guide you in areas where you can begin to help yourself. Obviously, one of the first problems is soda. You're exposing yourself to a combination of endocrine disrupting BPA, sugar, chemical sweeteners, and something called 4-MEI. Oh, my friends, cancer cells love that sugar. Sugar in soda contributes to empty, nutrition-deficient calories, therefore weight gain. And the nice little caramel color of the soda, yeah, that comes from 4-MEI, a known carcinogen. But drink a glass of cold water, slice of lemon, cucumber. Pretty refreshing. Or go for a locally produced brand of soda that's honest about the ingredients. Locally produced brand? I live in Phoenix. Oh, that's right. There's going to be a shortage of aluminum cans here. Refined sugar. That's another one. Oh, that's a big one. Yeah, well-studied food grows cancer cells. Consider this. For PET scanning, which is one method used to diagnose cancer, patients are injected with radioactively marked sugar. And it reaches those organs and tissues that consume a lot of sugar. And cancerous tumor cells ingest about 30 times more than normal tissue, allowing doctors to easily pinpoint the location of the cancerous cells. You don't need a more convincing reason to drop processed sugars from your diet. Grab a sweet, fiber-filled treat like an orange for dessert. Consuming nutrient-rich whole foods are excellent for staving off sugar cravings. This is an interesting one to me because I'm at the point that neither one of these offers any benefit to me any longer. Farm salmon. Unlike wild salmon, farm salmon has been found to contain a higher percentage of omega-6 fatty acids as compared to omega-3. Too much omega-6 actually raises blood pressure, bad cholesterol, water retention in the body. But you see, you know, it is synthetically derived. But part of the problem I have with salmon, with seafood in general today, you get the farm stuff, it's a lighter pink. The wild stuff has got a richer color to it. But the problem is where's the wild salmon coming from? Global waters that may in fact have been contained with radiation from Fukushima. I don't eat fish anymore. It's pretty sad. Oh, here's one I can't stomach. Margarine. Hey, hey. Margarine's horrible. Oh, yeah, a lot of manufacturers have switched to new methods of producing margarine by, you know, crazy ways and blending with unsaturated liquid oils. It's supposed to be healthier. Oh, they've been telling you that for decades. But it's not. Doesn't change the fact that making this butter substitute involves a significant amount of processing. Chemicals. Unless you're ready to investigate your favorite brand thoroughly, it's difficult to say what goes into the spread. No, use real butter in limited quantities if you're not allergic to dairy. Something Kelly taught me years ago. The two healthiest things you can cook with. Real butter and olive oil. You know, the real version stuff. Not the stuff that, well, never mind. Diet food, of course, is horrible. They follow dangerous fads. For example, fats were once thought to be the sole cause of obesity and heart disease. Manufacturers of health foods realized that reducing the fat content made the tasteless appealing to customers. They started adding sugar to their products to ensure sales. Oh, goody. Bottled water, don't need to talk about it. It's all poison. There is a video I'll be posting in the next few days that is amazing. That gets into a whole involved with spring water and how pure it's supposed to be. But be careful. We're so used to drinking water out of plastic bottles, we don't think twice about it. I hate the stuff. Full of toxins. Plastic leaches over 50 chemicals when heated. Water doesn't go bad. So bottled water manufacturers have no need to use refrigerated trucks to transport it. And additionally, the longer the water is kept in plastic containers, the more toxins leak into it. Huh? Get a water purifier for your home. Cut the crap. Carry your own water in a glass, metal, or ceramic bottle, by the way. And this is one that got me. Charred meats. You know, red meat's been in the doghouse for a long time as a possible cause of cancer. But it's got more to do with how it's prepared than anything else. Now, red meat, beef, pork, lamb, tougher than white meat, chicken and fish, needs to be cooked, grilled, or barbecued at very high temperatures. These cooking methods release toxins like heterocyclic amines, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, which are said to raise your cancer risk. But there is an alternative. Don't give up red meat completely. As a matter of fact, there's something that's discussed in depth in Dr. Kelly's self-test for the different metabolic type. Some of you shouldn't be eating red meat, but that's because you're metabolic type or great limitations to it. But there are those with the right metabolic type that require red meat. Eat organic, grass-fed beef. Pay attention to how you cook it. Some of the other things that, and I'm not going to be able to get into all of them. Time's going to allow it, but it's enough to give you a teaser to say, go read the rest of it. Instant noodles. Oh, come on. Ramen? What garbage? Plastic. It's just pure garbage. Alcohol severely depletes our body's levels of niacin. Well, but an occasional little sip is one thing. I don't drink a lot of it. I'm lucky if I have two or three shots a year, if you want to call it that. Refined flour is another horrible, horrible thing. Refining flour strips off all of the nutritional value and fiber from wheat. Certain fruits and vegetables. Yeah. Some fruits and vegetables are more vulnerable to insects and pests than others. Grapes, apples, figs, spinach, and strawberries. Uh-huh. Substitute, produce, which requires a lot of pesticides and fertilizers for organically sourced ones. The Environmental Working Group updates its dirty foods list every year. That's stuff to look at. Obviously, French fries and potato chips, we don't need to discuss that. Synthetic sweeteners. Yeah, we know all about that stuff. Sweet and low and all that other junk. Canned food? Oh, my God, what am I going to do without canned corned beef hash? Didn't even know we had some. My wife fixed it and took it out of here to somebody else the other day. Ticked me off when I found out. Hydrogenated oils. I'm going to briefly say this because we've only got a moment or so. Hydrogenated oils and purified oils are extracted by subjecting seeds, grains, or nuts to chemical processes which are highly harmful to our health. They go on with it, but here's the alternative they recommend. Listen carefully. They recommend choosing coconut oil, clarified butter, cold-pressed sunflower oil, extra virgin olive oil, or canola oil. Let me tell you about canola oil. I have published that in a darker red as a link. Follow it. You want to learn more about canola oil, friends? Follow that link. It'll take you back to drkelly.info's search section, and the articles in there about canola oil will shock you to death. Some of the other things they're warning against, obviously GMO foods, popcorn. Because most popcorn today is microwave stuff. The bags that they come in are full of so many carcinogenics and chemicals. It's unbelievable. And the corn itself may have been genetically modified or GMO'd. Another one is ready-to-eat meals. Oh, yeah, man. You go into your grocery store and the whole meal's put together and ready for you to go. Spaghetti, meatballs, you know, stews, salads, everything. Get away from them. Stay away from the prepackaged meals, the TV dinner mentality. Processed meats, that's another one. So the conclusion is this. Can you avoid cancer in all its forms? It's important to understand that there are several types of cancers and therefore no single cure for all of it. Apart from what we eat, my friends, genetics, lifestyle choices, environmental exposure, numerous other factors, they all play a role in our health and our well-being. Best we can do is treat our bodies like a temple, reap the rewards of loving ourselves in the long run. And keep this in mind, it is your health. It's your choice. Only you can make yourself healthy. That about brings us to the end of the day. Thank you for being with me. I so thoroughly enjoy myself, Joseph. Lord willing, I will see you tomorrow. Another installment of The Edge. Good evening.
It brings back the sound of music so tender. It brings back a night of tropical splendor. It brings back a memory evergreen. I'm with you once more under the stars, and down by the shore an orchestra's playing, and even the palms seem to be swaying when they begin. Again is past all endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart. And there we are, swearing to love forever and promising never, never to divine, what rapture serene, till clouds came along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean. So don't suddenly know what heaven we're in when they begin the beginning. When they begin the beginning.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. Truth, truth.